Yeah, today's readings from Romans 10, 8 to 15. In the church Bibles there. Let me just take that. On page 1137, if you want to follow along. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here. Phil, you're welcome to stay and preach if you want as well. I don't mind. You'll do a better job. Let's move this over here. Is that all right, Tony? Can everyone hear? Is this thing working? So it really is a joy to be here this morning. Thank you for your welcome. And if we haven't met, my name's David. And I'm going to give a fairly simple message this morning and make it quite interactive. So I hope that's all right. So there's going to be quite a bit of chatting to each other. And we're continuing this little series of thinking about sharing the story. So why don't we pray and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we sang these words just now, that you, Jesus, are enough. And I really want to pray those words into each one of our hearts today, Lord. You are enough. Jesus is enough. Just pray for those here today who are facing a battle in any shape or form, that you would know Jesus is enough, that you know his grace is sufficient. And Lord, would you send your spirit upon us now. And Lord, I really want to pray you'd lift off burdens from us today, that we would all walk out of here this morning lighter. So help us to lay before you some of those burdens in this next 20 minutes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So I wanted to start with a story, if that's all right. I was 16 years old when I first stepped off this little island that we call home, the UK. And I went with a friend, Dan, to France. And it was a massive adventure. And I remember getting the train down to Dover. And we had our little backpacks on and we were kind of full of enthusiasm and had our pigeon French, GCSE French. And we got the ferry over to Calais. And when we arrived in Calais, we kind of looked around and realised quite quickly that as lovely as Calais is, there was a bit more to France than Calais. So we thought, you know, let's get a train down to Paris. So we needed to find the station and we didn't know where that was. And so I saw this elderly man who was walking down the street and he looked really friendly and he had a big smile on his face. So I thought I'll go and ask him where the station is. So I went up to him and in my French said, you're not meant to start laughing yet, Catherine. I said, where is the station in my pigeon French? And he just looked at me and his whole face changed and it crunched up and he just looked really angry. And he started tutting, and he just marched off, shaking his head. So Dan and I were thinking, you know, what have we done? What have I done? So we got this little phrase book out of my backpack, and we looked at it and realised that in French, if you want to say where is the station, you ask where is the gare, G-A-R-E. Actually, what I had said to him is, where is the guerre? which means, where is the wall? So I basically stepped off the boat, marched up to this lovely, friendly old man, and said, with a smile on my face, where's the wall? And he must have just thought, this ignorant teenage roast beef, you know, honestly, what are we going to do with you? But as I was thinking about that this week, I realised it was a classic case of lost in translation. And when we think about sharing the gospel, I don't know about you, but I was thinking about the times when I've tried to tell people the good news of Jesus. And so often, it's a case of lost in translation, that I think I'm saying one thing, but actually what people are hearing is something very different. Now, we all know that we're to share the good news of Jesus, and we read it in Scripture, and we've kind of been told numerous times this is what we're meant to do. But it's a real struggle, isn't it? We find it really, I find it hard, and I'm a vicar. I mean, I've got the easiest job. When people say, hello, mate, what do you do? I say, I'm a vicar, and they usually say, really? And then, but, you know, it's an easy opening for me. But this whole thing is difficult, if we're honest, and we struggle in different ways, and we all feel a bit inadequate, and we all stumble over our words. And so I thought, to begin with, why don't we just be really honest with each other? So turn to the person next to you and just share what are some of the challenges you feel in here, in your head and heart, when you think of this whole thing of sharing the gospel. What are some of the... Well, in fact, let's just shout them out. What are some of the inhibitions that you have?
They're going to think you're a nutter.
Yeah, people think you're a bit mad.
You're going to mess it up and let God down.
Yep. That's fine, yep. Yep, that's right, Sheila, yep.
Embarrassment.
Yep.
Offence.
Yep. Yep, especially if you're a vicar, you know, the bar's a bit higher. Yep.
You're closed-minded.
Yep. Any other thoughts?
Political correctness.
Yeah. Yeah, you just never know what people are going to think.
People tend to throw irrefutable science at you.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah, people throwing their scientific logic. Reason at us and logic. Yep. Anything else?
Not good enough.
Yep. Yeah. The reality doesn't stack up sometimes, does it, with what they see and what they experience and hear.
Guilt.
I mean, the list goes on, doesn't it? And as I was thinking about this, I realise, you know, actually when I'm about to tell someone about Jesus, there's all of these burdens on my shoulder of all this stuff. And I don't know about you, but it just feels like it weighs heavier and heavier and heavier on us. And that's why I prayed what I just prayed, because I really think today God just wants to lift some of that off you. He just wants to take some of that expectation that's been put on you, that sense of burden and guilt and all the things that we've just said, and just gently and lovingly lift it off you. Because none of that is from him, is it? None of that. None of those things that we mentioned. I often think, you know, what about if, you know, people hear these words and yet they see me and they think, well, hang on a minute, this doesn't stack up with this man. You know, so there's all this stuff that we're carrying, and actually God, I believe, wants to lift that off you today. Now, we're going to have a go at sharing the gospel. But what I'm going to encourage you to do while I get a few props ready, this is quite an interactive sermon today, is turn to the person next to you. And I want you to just share what you think the good news of Jesus is. And you might want to say one word, or you might want to say a phrase. So just talk amongst yourselves for a few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, and share what do you actually think the good news of Jesus is. On your marks, get set, go. Shall we have a go at sharing some of what you've come up with? Now, I'm going to try and write some of this down.
Can I write?
Do you want to? Yeah, you're hired. Come on, Titch. Round of applause for Titch. Chief Scribe. I think what we'll do...
It's the spelling that might be an issue.
We're very forgiving. We'll rip them in half and... So why don't you just call out, you know, some of those words, phrases. What is the good news of Jesus?
Unconditional
Oh, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. So we've got to give this poor guy a chance. Did he catch all of that?
Yeah, I caught that one. Hope.
Hope. Well, that's all right. It, you know, just sort of.
I'm going very creative here. Some will be big, some will be small. We'll put it all
Oh, is that not? Was that? No, that's about the writing. So, what's the good news of Jesus?
Saved.
Saved. Yeah, a relationship and love.
Always having somebody to turn to.
Sorry, patience, and then having someone to turn to.
Relationship.
Tell me to slow down if you want.
Love.
Maybe I should get another pen and I could help you. Come on. Yes, here we go. Yeah, any more?
You get to be with him forever.
Let's. Can we do some more bits of paper, Titch?
Yeah.
You keep going with that and I'll...
Yeah.
Be with God forever. Yeah, keep going. Sorry?
Non-judgmental
and then...
Always got somebody to turn to.
Yeah. Always got someone to turn to.
Always. Okay, you got that.
No, that's all right. And any, please keep calling them out. Joy. Can I grab the pad?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh dear. What else?
Turn to
family.
Joy. Forgiveness.
Forgiveness and salvation. Yeah. It doesn't matter if we both write these down.
Purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose.
Purpose. Hope, did someone say?
I've got that, don't worry, all over it. Okay, it's a big one.
Yeah, it's good. New hope, yeah. Yeah. What else?
Grace.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Understanding.
Understanding. Oh, no, that's not good. Freedom. Oh, no, that's so bad. I would never be able to work on Blue Peter. So, freedom. Yeah, any more?
Help to do life.
Do you want to get that one, Titch? You have some more paper. Look, I've torn it really badly. Yeah. What else?
Way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, way, truth, and the life. What else?
We haven't got to be perfect before God
take anybody. Yeah, amen. Don't need to be perfect.
Rest.
Yeah.
Rest. Okay, cool.
Okay. Let's just do a few more. What, any others? What does the good news mean for you?
Did I write family? I heard that somewhere.
I think we did get it. Forgiveness and cleansing.
Yeah, we got forgiveness.
And sorry. Trust, yep. Victory.
Ooh,
yes, powerful. Yes, we claim that.
Oh, we're all over that.
Yeah.
Powerful.
That's a pretty good list, isn't it?
You got peace, unconditional love.
Unconditional love. Let's get that down. And peace. Yeah. Oh, what was that one?
What was that? Was that Chris?
Yeah.
I think your name kind of sounds that Christian. That's true. That's true.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good list. Thank you. Thanks, Titch. Well done. Brilliant.
Well done, Titch.
Yes. Now, I'm going to call on another assistant, if that's right. Harv, you are my chosen victim next. So, I think sometimes what happens is a little bit along these lines. This is not massively prepared, so please be gracious with us.
Let me just get into character for a second.
Oh. So this is Harvey. He's one of my friends. He's not a Christian, as you can tell. But Harvey, it's great to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you, Dave.
Right. Thanks. we always, I don't know about you, we're British, we talk about the weather. That rain this morning was quite something, wasn't
miserable,
it?
Wasn't
miserable.
It?
Yeah. Haven't seen rain like that for years.
No, but, you know, after all the hot weather, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that was really hot. Too hot. Yeah. So that's that one done. Particularly male British conversation. So, Harv, anyway, how are you?
Oh, not bad, you know. Yeah. I'm a bit worried, actually.
Tell me.
Well, my onion selling business. It's not going well, and I'm a bit concerned for the future, really.
I could show you the way to the station if you like.
You know, I'm just worried about finances and
okay.
You know, just what the future holds at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to press pause. So I don't know about you, but I often have conversations, not necessarily about the onions, but with friends like that. And, you know, they will reveal something that's going on in their life. Now, sometimes it's at this point we're thinking, ah, I know what this guy needs. He needs the gospel. So in my head, what I'm doing is I'm thinking, great, love and peace, grace, he doesn't need to be perfect. He needs hope, he needs to be saved, he needs freedom, he needs victory, he needs rest, he needs forgiveness, he needs the love of the family. And I wait for this inopportune moment in the conversation, and I just do this. And then I'm really surprised when actually he hasn't managed to catch anything of this packaging of what I have thrown at him, which I think is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we give a round of applause to Harvey, please? I want to encourage you this morning. You know what the good news of Jesus is. You know it. You've just told me. We've just shared it, haven't we? We've just described exactly what it is. And more than that, you know, even just sitting here this morning, as you were sharing about what God has been doing, the gospel kind of just filters through all of that, doesn't it? I'm so sorry, I don't know your name. You shared.
Karen.
Thank you, Karen. I mean, I thought what you said was amazing, and I just want to encourage you. And, you know, when I heard what you said, that is the good news of Jesus. It's God in you, having sort of, we all continually receiving God's forgiveness in Christ, that then allows that to overflow into the relationship you have with your neighbour. And actually to show that forgiveness is completely countercultural. And then in time to be able to say, well, this is why I forgave you, because I've received this forgiveness myself. We don't need to try and package the good news into this kind of 10-course meal that we try and shove down people's throats that just leaves them with chronic indigestion. We just need to tell the story of what Jesus is doing in our lives, of the ways in which he is providing for us. He is giving us comfort. He is continuing to give us peace in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And I think perhaps most importantly, and one thing that, you know, we could probably all get better at, is it's a bit of what you said, Sheila, is just telling people the good news of Jesus when we're in a bad place, when we're in a really difficult place. You know, when we're going through grief, what does it look like for Jesus to be by my side? What is the good news when I'm walking that path of grief or illness or sadness, or when my life is just full of questions? What does it mean for me to, you know, like the woman, to hold on to Jesus' coattails and just kind of cling on to him for dear life when he gives me that peace and that meaning and that significance in my life? So let's continue to share what the good news is through everything that we're going through in our lives. But also remember that it's not all down to you. And that's what I really want to lift off you again this morning. It is not all down to you. You know, if you're just feeling burdened by this whole concept of sharing the gospel, then I just want you to lift that off your shoulders and lay it at the foot of the cross this morning. And you might be here, here's another illustration. You might be here today and you might be feeling a bit dusty and a bit dry, you know, Valley of the Dry Bones. And we just sung a song, didn't we, Christy, about being in the desert. And I've got some dust here. And this might be a bit, you know, how you're feeling today. Maybe you just feel a bit low in the faith, you know, you're facing lots of challenges in your life and you're just thinking, I haven't really got anything to give. More questions than answers. But what we see in Scripture is that the power of the gospel comes when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what we need. And so my prayer for you all today is this symbolises living water. And that whether you're here today and you're feeling full of life and joy and the Spirit, or whether you are just, you know, like this glass, just feeling a bit dusty and empty, that living water that is the Holy Spirit would come and pour down upon you and transform your dusty life into something that comes alive and overflows into the life of others. That the gospel of Jesus Christ would just bubble out from you, and that as his Spirit comes and pours down upon you, that this wouldn't be something that's forced and contrived and, you know, we're mechanically saying, I must share the gospel. But through the circumstances that you're in, whether you've been in hospital this week or whether you're out of a job or battling with someone in your family, whatever it is, that as the Spirit of God comes upon you, that those dry bones would come to life and it would overflow and pour out into the lives of everyone that you meet. The Apostle Paul writes, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. We need the Holy Spirit. I cannot do this on my own. You cannot do this on your own. We need that refreshing power of the Spirit in our lives that we would overflow. So I've got one more little exercise for you, and then we're going to pray. And this last thing that I'd love to encourage you to do together is this, while I clear up all this mess. It's a good job Joy is not here today. Sometimes we think when we talk about testimony that we need to share the story of how we came to faith. But actually in 1 Peter 3, we're encouraged to be ready to give an answer for the faith that we have. And I just want you to turn to each other and just ask each other that question. What is the reason for the faith that you have? What is it in here that God is doing that means you hold on to him like this? That you cling on to him? What is that reason in Jesus Christ? And this is a way of us just sharing a sense of our faith, of what this good news means to us. So why don't you turn to one another and just for a couple of minutes just share why it is that you have faith. What does this faith mean to you? Why is it so important? Ready, steady, go. Okay, should we come back together? I haven't, as you have noticed, spent a long time in Romans 10, putting it mildly. But I think what I want to say is, all of this points towards you and me being able to say Jesus is Lord in whatever situation we find ourselves in. You know, whether we're at the top of the mountain and dancing and cheering for joy, or whether we're at the bottom of the valley and we're just literally on our knees, flat on our face, sobbing and pounding the ground, that wherever we are on that spectrum, that actually we'd be able to say, Jesus is Lord. He's in control. You know, I thought what you said, Leslie, at the beginning of those prayers was amazing. So why don't we stand together, and I'd love to pray for you all, and then we're going to worship together. The amazing, one of the many amazing things about faith in Christ is that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, Lord, we bring ourselves before you this morning. And we do want to thank you that you are with us. This is one of the consistent threads in Scripture, Lord, that you are with us. That you made yourself most present in Jesus Christ. And that Jesus said, I will be with you always until the end of the age. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit today. We need that refreshing power that brings us to life. That where we're in the valley of the dry bones and we feel dusty and tired and maybe disheartened, that you would come and pour down living water upon us today. Heavenly Father, we're thirsty. And when we think about sharing you with this needy and broken world, that we would do it from a place of having first received from you, Lord. So would you pour in your Spirit to us now as we worship? Just like that little illustration, that we may bubble over, Lord. with you. So come and meet with us now. Minister to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.